From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 18th day of January 2019. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzulo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting in Atchison, Kansas. We'll discuss the weather forecast for right here in the United States, that big storm that's making its way across the Midwest and through our area this weekend. We'll do that with Eric Snodgrass, and he'll turn his attention to South America as well, where it really has begun to get a bit more dry and a bit more concerning for him. We'll also take a look at today's agricultural news. News in this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media, Public Radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
We're now joined by Mike Zuzulo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting out of Atchison, Kansas. Hey, good afternoon to you, Mike. Thanks for being with us.
Great to be with you, Todd. Happy Friday. Happy Martin Luther King weekend. Markets are closed Monday.
Absolutely. The markets are closed Monday, and happy Friday to you. Hey, you and I were talking just before we went on the air, and I want to break up some of this discussion about the things that happened this week. Now, we had a couple of good days in the soybeans the last 2 days, and we'll get to those in a moment. But we were discussing some of the things around trade, and it seems to me that two important things happened. One was that the U.S. Trade Representative's office said, we're not making much progress, and then today, we heard that the Chinese made what looked like a pretty good offer as it relates to trade that they apparently turned down. And I suppose that says this is not as much about trade as most people think. We talked about this a lot during the week when I was out, that it's intellectual property and other things going forward. Is that what your takeaway for the week was too?
Yeah, for the most part, right on. And I think there's a third leg to the stool, and it's something you and I've talked about a lot in the last 6 or 8 months, and that is North Korea and the denuclearization there. We're getting word this afternoon that the next meeting between North Korea and the United States could be very, very soon. And I think that's really an important piece of the puzzle, that if we expect the Chinese trade rumors and news print and news wire reports that came out in the last 24 hours to have any substance to them, and the Chinese news to have any substance to them, I think you have to have also in place the idea that we're going to make headway with North Korea, because quite frankly, I think President Trump is using, along with the intellectual property rights, is using the trade with China as a carrot and a stick policy, like Teddy Roosevelt did back in the early 1900s. With North Korea, and getting that country to denuclearize and to change the landscape militarily of that area of Asia. So it's good to see both of those things happening. But you're right on. I think that intellectual property will come. But I think also President Trump realizes that he's probably going to have to take it in chunks. And his main goal is denuclearization of North Korea and cutting back on the trade deficit that we have and continue to run with China.
So we'll have to take a wait and see view of this one. And the question will be, how long will be the wait more than anything else? We have a deadline of March 1. We'll see whether they kick the can further down the road on the tariffs on that one. Turn your attention to what happened in Chicago. A couple of good days for the soybeans this week. Why was that the case?
Yeah, South American weather is starting to pick up more traction. And the only reason that is because we saw demand come back into the market and these Chinese-U.S. trade rumblings. But, you know, demand really came into the market pretty nicely in a variety of ways. The weekly export inspections beat the highest trade guess across the board, whether you're looking at wheat, corn, and beans. You had another week where the South Koreans came in and bought U.S. corn. And then you had the NOPA crush number. It was the third highest in December, of about 171.7 million bushels, and it was the third highest for any month, and it was the highest of any December. So demand showed up, I think, Todd, and you also saw the stock market and the crude oil market come back around. Those markets tend to help the soy quite a bit. Jumping back, one last thing I did want to point out, the clients and subscribers I'm talking to, I really am making a big deal of that timeline that you talked about a minute ago. I'm at a point where if we can't get a trade deal, we run out of time with the government shutdown at the end of February, where the whole government essentially runs out of money. And then you have the U.S.-China trade negotiations kind of flop by the 1st of March. I think if you add into that the potential increase of an impeachment process by the House of Representatives as we get into springtime, I think we have to be really, really cautious here as far as getting prices locked in and floors underneath us if we can't see some good news in the next 30 days here.
This is on the idea that the market will find just too much of a problem in the U.S. government and destabilization there, relatively speaking, and that China will hold off on imports and continue to bring in soybeans from South America.
Yeah, China took a real gamble. Exactly right. They took a real gamble pushing a record amount of stimulus into their central from their central bank this week. And it was a massive amount of money. I think the other thing, too, goes back to three of the last four recessions have been caused by financial markets. And I think we're set up and primed for that type of similar pattern and pathway that we don't have an economic recession yet. In fact, the data 3 months ago was extremely strong. The fact that China is pushing money into their economy is inflationary. The Federal Reserve raising rates was suggesting that we had plenty of inflation. And, you know, if China says they're going to erase their trade deficit between now and 2024, that's inflationary as well. So the economics, you can argue very strongly right now, are not negative. It's really the financial market. So that's exactly why, yes.
So we're kind of flying blind at the moment without the U.S. government reports. We're not getting the finance reports. I think Canada said we're not going to give you reports either today. So it's... I interesting to see, but see might not be the good news, good way to term that there's just an awful lot that we don't know at this point. And that means that things can happen, I suppose, to be good or bad in either case.
Yeah, and I think that's where the chart technicals really come into play, and how the market looked at the end of this week was a real key indicator. Crude oil was back up. Stock market was back up. Copper, it's about 7 or 8% off its lows from a few weeks back. The key now, I think, for corn and beans is to get above those mid-December highs of 386.5 on the corn in lead month and 928 in the beans. And that 928, 930 area is also the 52-week moving average. If we can close above those levels, I think that's a pretty strong indication. The trade thinks that things are going to get better and that they are materially getting better. We saw that in the hogs as well. Hogs have been getting just brutal breaking to the downside this week until yesterday and today. All of a sudden, we saw a very big wave of short covering. That's supportive of the idea that China and the U.S. are going to straighten things out. So we know what the market's waiting for and wanting. And I think the technicals will tell us if the fundamentals are there, even if the government is not quite open yet.
Yeah, so the technicals oftentimes predict where the market will go, usually based on some of the fundamentals. But they can, I suppose they can lead the way if they've got an idea what those fundamentals are going to do. However, given our conversation, I take it you're telling producers, be ready to pull the trigger on some more old crop sales.
Yeah, I'm still waiting for the 935, 940 in lead month bean futures and the 395, $4 level in lead month corn futures, but I won't hesitate an instant at those price levels to get at least a 10% sale made just so that we can have that put to bed before we get into this next 30-day time frame, which I think, honestly, at this point, could dictate what the trend is going all the way into springtime. And that's an unfortunate scenario that we'd have to rely upon one or two major things to not allow the markets to rally to really profitable levels. Because I do think there are some very good profitable levels we can get to if we can get this boat turned around in the next 30 days.
Are you a seller of new crop as well at some level?
Yeah, 970 area, 965, 970 in new crop beans. I won't hesitate. Even with my Brazilian number is down to about 116.6 on beans and 92.75 on corn after this week because of the weather. Argentina's crop is shrinking, but I think the global supplies are still big enough, and African swine fever is still being reported. That if I can get to that revenue level, it's a good place to get back into it.
Hey, thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Great conversation, Todd. Thanks for having me.
Indeed. That, of course, is Mike Zuzulo with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting out of Atchison, Kansas. In today's agricultural news, the European Union is willing to discuss car tariffs, but will not remove duties on farm products in trade talks with the United States, that according to its trade chief today. The European Commission, which coordinates trade policy for the 28 member European Union nations, today published two negotiating mandates, which were notable more for what they left out than for what they included. The EU proposals on tariffs falls far short of the wide-ranging wish list, including comprehensive agricultural market access set out by U.S. President Donald Trump's administration just a week ago. There's a lot that's not covered. We're not proposing any negotiations with the U.S. to reduce or eliminate duties on agricultural products, said EU Trade Commissioner Cecilia Malmström. That area was left outside, like many other topics, where it would be difficult to reach an agreement, she continued, adding that the EU was not planning to restart the broad negotiations dubbed TTIP, which drew thousands to the streets in Europe in protest. Last week, a 17-page list of U.S. objectives began by saying that the United States wanted to reduce its trade deficit with the European Union. It stands at about $136 billion. We'll stick with trade for just a moment. China apparently had made an offer to the United States a bit earlier in the year to go on a six-year buying spree to ramp up imports in a move that would reconfigure the relationship between the world's two largest economies by increasing annual goods imports from the U.S. by a combined value of more than $1 trillion. China would seek to reduce its trade surplus, which last year stood at $323 billion. This trade deal was offered earlier in the year, and then after going to Beijing, the USTR this week said not much progress had been made. Clearly, the trade deal the United States wants is more about intellectual property, military superiority, and who will lead the globe in the future than it is about simple trade issues. Well, let's turn our attention to the government shutdown, which is impacting USDA services. The FSA offices were opened up yesterday and will remain open today and on Tuesday of next week to deal with just a couple of items. Loans are among those items and some 1099s that need to be turned in to the Internal Revenue Service. However, there are things that USDA FSA offices will not be dealing with. These include new direct or facility loans, new farm loan guarantees, new marketing assistance loans, new applications for market facilitations programs, or MFP payments, certification of the 2018 production for MFP payments, the dairy margin protection program, and anything related to disaster assistance programs like livestock indemnity programs, emergency conservation programs, wildfire and hurricane indemnity programs, livestock forage disaster programs, and emergency assistance for livestock, honeybees, and farm-raised fish. Again, FSA offices were open yesterday. They're open to the end of the business day today and will be open on Tuesday of next week for processing payments made on or before December 31st, continuing expiring financing statements, and opening mail to identify priority items. And finally today, on a related note, at least to the government shutdown, U.S. Secretary of Agriculture Sonny Perdue in his Twitter account says there's an understandable concern about funding for child nutrition programs, but that this needs to be clear. USDA's child nutrition programs are funded quarterly, he says, and are fully funded through the end of March. And this includes the National School Lunch Program, School Lunch Breakfast, and Child and Adult Care Food Programs, says the secretary. You can follow Secretary of Agriculture Sonny Perdue on Twitter. Look for the handle at Secretary Sonny. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. You're listening to the Closing Market Report on this 18th day of January. Just a quick reminder that the markets are closed for MLK, Martin Luther King's birthday, on Monday. Let's check the weather forecast because, boy, we've got another big storm that's making its way across the center part of the United States. Eric Snodgrass is here to tell us about that and what it might entail across the Corn Belt. Thanks, Eric, for being with us. Can you give me the lowdown on where this is headed?
Yeah, I'm going to tell you first, though, this storm system has kept me up at night. It's been a tough one to forecast. And we've had a lot of, you know, we rely on weather models. That's a, you know, that's a modern way of doing forecasting. And yet we've had quite a bit of, you know, each model kind of giving you their own solution. And it finally all settled in. Here's what we got. We got a system coming across right now. It's came out of the Panhandle of Texas. The low is going to go to our south, which puts us in the wintry, you know, snowbank kind of thing here. And so that's going to be getting through central Illinois in the overnight hours tonight and then really be a headache for us late tonight and tomorrow. Now, here's the thing. The rain snow line initially is going to push pretty far into the southern half of Illinois somewhere. It'll be somewhere between I-70 and I-72. I know that's a pretty big range, but that's how tough it is to forecast this one. So it'll all eventually turn over to snow, and I think that's where the problem is going to be. Giving you a snowfall amount is going to be tough given that this snow may be very easily compacted at first before it gets really cold. And I'll just say this to everybody that's listening. When the snow comes in, take care of it right away. Get it shoveled, get it out, because the temperatures that are coming in behind this are going to be brutally cold. We're going to go down to the single digits for lows. And why I say get that snow out is because if a wet, slushy snow comes in and then it gets really cold, that just freezes into ridges of ice that you can't move. So take make sure that, you know, if you're listening, get that snow removed quickly. Now, that system gets off. It's going to be quite windy. It's going to get out of here pretty quickly, though. We got another one we're watching next Tuesday. And I'd say, but the only positive thing about this is that we're not developing any sort of winter drought. So that at least takes that off the table. But expect several cold air intrusions because the polar vortex is set up over the northeastern part of the United of really North America. Expect several cold air intrusions between now and the end of the month.
All right, turn your attention. Well, first, this is just set one, set two. There's two more beyond that, I think you told me about. Is that right?
Yeah, I actually think we got four of them. Ooh. By the time we finish the end of the month of January. This pattern is loaded.
Okay, now turn your attention to South America. We're worried about the crop there.
Yeah, so remember, we had a great start to the season because rains arrived on time, aggressive planting, and we, you know, throughout much of September, October, November, we had good, you know, good weather in South America. Well, then December comes along, turns dry. We've now been dry for the beginning of January. Now it's raining, okay, but it's just the strength of the monsoon is substantially less. So all of our models are picking up on this slight dry ice. So it's as though it's raining just not enough given what their soils are. So we kind of look out here and we see that for much of Brazil, we got a drier pattern that's going to hang around to the beginning of the month, but we just had released the other day the brand new European weeklies. Okay, so these take us out 46 days, and it appears that once February gets here, at least that model's picking up on a wetter, a little bit of a wetter trend. Now, why is it doing that? Well, it's picking up on a little bit of a flattening out of something called the Southern Oscillation Index. But there's a lot of uncertainty in that, and the Mad-Julian Oscillation is going to go back over to a favorable phase if the model's got this forecast right. But my question is always is, do we already do enough damage to cause problems? Meanwhile, real quick, Argentina, it's been up and down, it's been quite wet, but overall, it's much improved over last year's drought in Argentina.
Hey, thanks so much. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
Eric Snodgrass is with Agrible. You've been listening to the Closing Market Report, the Friday edition. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.